here's a question you probably get a lot. How are you doing? It's probably one of the first things you say when you're doing something like getting lunch with a friend. But our next guest says too often we don't really want to hear honest answers to that question. And for that matter, we probably don't even know what the honest answer is for ourselves. Mark Brackett is the founding director of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence and a professor at the Child Study Center at Yale University. His new book is Permission to Feel, Unlocking the Power of Emotions to Help Our Kids, Ourselves, and Our Society Thrive. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, you write in your book that this is a personal subject for you. How did you, growing up, and your family struggle with emotions?
Well, I struggled from a lot of bullying in my childhood, and people didn't recognize that it was happening. And I was uncomfortable talking about it for a variety of reasons. One was my mom was an anxious person, and so she would be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe what's happening. And my father was a tough guy who just wanted me to be a tough guy. So I learned very early, guess what? Don't share.
And this is a recurring theme in your book, this idea that our inability to deal with emotions, we'll get into that more, it can be intergenerational. We could pass it down to our kids. And the struggle, it seems like, that you're dealing with is how do we break that cycle?
That's true. I mean, oftentimes I just turned 50 and we take a look back and we say, wait a minute, how did I just become like my mom or like my dad, right?
And you say a lot of us don't really know how we feel at any given moment. We don't even have a radar to assess our own emotions. Why is that?
I think it's because we have not received an adequate emotion education. Think about it. You know, how much training do any of us get in building a comprehensive emotion vocabulary? Not many of us have gotten that. And therefore, you know, when people ask us how we're feeling, what do we say? Fine, busy. And the expectation is that we just move on.
One problem that you run into, and you talk about the objections you hear when you train people like school administrators in emotions, there's a lot of resistance to the idea that we should be dealing with emotions. Sometimes we think of emotions as something we should overcome. It's a virtue to rise above our emotions. It's not just that we don't know, it's that we sometimes don't even wanna, right?
Well, emotions are scary for a lot of people. You know, it's hard to talk about our difficult feelings like anxiety and shame, you know, and frustration and all those so-called negative emotions because people think people who experience those feelings are weak. And a big part of my book is saying, no, emotions are information. And if someone is feeling anxiety or fear or shame, that means we need to attend to it and teach them how to manage it effectively.
What is the harm that you see in society of our difficulties with emotions? What's the damage it's doing to us?
Well, the emotions that we have to go somewhere. So you think about how many students now have anxiety disorders. You know, in Connecticut alone, at our universities and colleges, there's been a 20% increase each year for the last 5 years in students seeking treatment for mental health. Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide. So there's the mental health consequences. And then there's the physical health consequences from, you know, having heart disease to other physical illnesses as a result of not having effective strategies to manage our feelings.
Talking to psychologist Mark Brackett, his new book is called Permission to Feel, Unlocking the Power of Emotions to Help Our Kids, Ourselves, and Our Society Thrive. A key to your argument, Mark, is the idea that we're not doomed to have the emotional makeup that we grew up with. We can change it. And that might be a surprise to a lot of people. Can we learn a different emotional blueprint?
We can. And the good news is that it is never too early or too late to learn the skills of emotional intelligence. We can always become better at recognizing our own feelings and those of other people, you know, asking the questions to understand why we have our feelings and what caused them, building our emotional vocabulary, learning how to express emotions to get our needs met. And the big one is there's always an opportunity to try better strategies to regulate your feelings.
And you've got a multi-step approach. The acronym is RULER, R-U-L-E-R. I want to get at least into a few of those steps. And step one is something you were just talking about, recognize is the first R. Walk us through how we can get better at recognizing our own emotions in the first place.
The first is to pay attention to your brain and your body, right? So do I feel pleasant? Do I feel unpleasant? And just making an estimate of like how pleasant you are in that moment. And then the second is paying attention to your energy levels. Am I really energized? Am I feeling tired and depleted? And those are indicators of how you're feeling. And then you can say, well, all right, my pleasantness is high, but my energy is low. Okay, I'm feeling calm. I'm feeling content. Or my pleasantness is very low and my energy is high. Oh, I'm feeling anxious or angry. And then the last two skills, the E and the R of ruler, has to do with, all right, what am I going to do with this feeling? Well, how do I want to feel? Who can I talk to about my emotions? And importantly, what are the strategies? Am I going to do something physical, like take a run or do some exercise to manage my feelings? Or am I going to do something cognitively, meaning change my self-talk instead of saying, I hate my life and I'm never going to be good at this. Reframe it and say, you know what? People make mistakes. This is temporary. I can learn this.
I want to set aside ruler now, this kind of five-stage process for a moment, and talk about the value of doing what you just said. You point out, let's take school, for example. We're at back-to-school time now. How important are emotions when it comes to, say, a student's ability to learn?
Well, the best example I have is my own, because I was a terrible student. I was a C and D student, for example, in middle school. And it was because I was a very anxious kid. I was a fearful kid. I was hopeless. And when you're feeling strong emotions like that and you're not taught how to manage them effectively, guess what? It's really hard to learn. And importantly, if your school is a place where children in general feel unsafe or feel disrespected, it's hard to learn in those contexts. And what we say is that emotions are the drivers of student learning and engagement.
And you've heard, you write about objections, again, from school administrators and teachers and others you've worked with, that, hey, our goal here is to teach students, to get them to perform well on things like standardized tests. It's not our role to deal with the individual emotions of each student. What would you say to them?
I would say that their own lives and the lives of every one of the students are saturated with emotions from the moment they wake up in the morning until the end of the day, right? If a kid is at home and parents are going through a divorce and they're witnessing their parents fighting all the time, and then it is dropped off to school after witnessing that, they're going to be activated. And unless that child is in a safe and caring classroom, and unless that child learns strategies to manage their stress, they're not going to be the best possible learner they could be.
Have you seen, say, a school do something about this, take the ruler approach and actually make a difference for their kids by taking emotions head on?
So ruler is our center's approach to teaching social and emotional learning. We're in 2,000 schools across the United States and in other countries, and we've seen just tremendous results from schools taking this work seriously. We've seen less student anxiety, less student stress, less teacher burnout, less bullying, greater engagement, and even greater academic performance when schools take this work seriously.
We're talking to Mark Brackett, psychologist at the Child Study Center at Yale University. We're talking about his latest book. It's called Permission to Feel, Unlocking the Power of Emotions to Help Our Kids, Ourselves, and Our Society Thrive. Let's go to our callers now. Peter is with us in Viroqua. Peter, hi.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What'd you want to tell us about, Peter?
Well, before the break, it sounded like you wanted to hear from somebody that, like myself, I grew up in a family where there was not much emotional education at all. And so basically I was told not to complain about pain or feelings. And so I stuffed a lot of emotions, and that became my pattern at a very early age. And then I, at about sixth grade, I recognized that I was just basically full of rage. And so much of my adolescence and into my 20s and 30s was just trying to control that rage in any way I could. And it ended up being in a lot of unhealthy ways. I'm recovering from multiple addictions, and I've had all sorts of health challenges, like recovery recovery from cancer, and I've had heart issues and asthma, for instance. And so now my work is with ACEs and understand the effect of adverse childhood experiences on health, mental and physical health. And I've got a job where I'm going into the schools and I'm working with children. I'm a former elementary teacher, and I'm working with children on this education around emotional and child intelligence. So I think it's just wonderful that you are bringing this up and it's part of the program today.
Peter, thank you so much for sharing your story. Peter, not alone with that experience. Mark, his story's got to sound pretty familiar to you.
It does. You know, I hear stories like his all the time. And, you know, this gets back to the idea that, you know, the adults who are raising kids, the adults who are teaching kids, have to learn these skills first, because then they can be the role models for our nation's youth.
Peter, thanks so much for sharing that story. And Mark, this if we don't deal with our emotions, if we stuff them down, as Peter found, that can lead to rage, angry outbursts. Is that, just even knowing that, is that something that can help, say, teachers and principals, like trying to understand why a kid might be angry, apparently from a teacher's perspective, out of nowhere?
It is. I mean, I think what's important to know is also that behavior is not feeling. You know, so a kid may be yelling and screaming and look like they're angry, but they might be feeling deep shame inside. And so that goes to the point of building relationships, right? We've got to know our children. We've got to know our students. And we've got to make talking about feelings common and comfortable. Because, again, these students are coming to school with feelings. And if we don't address them, they're going to interfere with learning. And can lead to unfortunate circumstances like we just heard.
Peter, thanks again for calling. We'll go now to Taj in Monona, Iowa. Taj, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, just as a man in today's society and working in the construction business, you know, it isn't always viewed as an asset to have a wide range of emotions. And as someone who does and feels like they're pretty in touch with their emotional side, it's just frustrating trying to communicate with someone who doesn't have the same emotional toolbox you do. So I guess what would be some advice you would have on doing that in a more like male-oriented career and, you know, business sector?
Taj, thanks for calling in with that question. Mark, any thoughts?
You know, it's interesting. In, you know, the corporate world, there's a little bit more resistance to this oftentimes in the business world, and especially among men. You know, I remember being in a company recently, and one of the managers said to me, "You're expecting us to go around the table and share how we're feeling?" And I said, "Kind of." You know, I think it takes the courage of one person, like our caller, to do that. And again, you have to be sensitive to your context. But most people, when given the opportunity, you know, are pretty comfortable doing it. And I think oftentimes it just takes one person to say, you know, "Hey, how's it going? You know, I got to let you know." Like, be the role model. You know, like, "I had a rough weekend." And do it in a way that makes sense to your colleagues. Obviously, you know, you don't want it to feel too, quote unquote, touchy-feely, because, you know, that can be a turnoff. But do it in the way that you think would be, you know, opening for them.
Taj, thanks a lot for the call. Hope that helps. We're talking to Mark Brackett. His new book is called, Permission to Feel, Unlocking the Power of Emotions to Help Our Kids, Ourselves, and Our Society Thrive. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Sarah is with us now in Waukesha. Sarah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Sarah?
I was just listening. I've never called into a radio before, so it's the first time. But it just kind of struck me because it's really important how it affected my life. I grew up without really being able to show negative emotions. So I think the way I reacted to it, I started cutting my arms and my neck when I was about 15. And I don't cut anymore. I've gone through lots of therapy, but I know it's becoming more and more of a trend with young kids. I don't know if it's just because they're not being able to express their emotions very well.
Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that story and making that first call to our show. I appreciate it. mark a very physical sign of the damage of not being able to cope with, as Sarah said, negative emotions.
You know, it is, and I'm sorry that you had to experience that, and way too many kids do that. You know, this is why, you know, it's so important for our parents to be open to learning these skills and to be good listeners of their children, because our feelings have to go somewhere. For me, they went into an eating disorder, into self-hatred. For others, into cutting. For others, into aggression and violence. They come out, you know, in one form or another. And I think what's so important is that we teach children that it's okay to have all feelings, and importantly, create context where they can talk about them and learn strategies to regulate them effectively.
Yeah, and Sarah talked about negative emotions, and you know, negative emotions, we feel bad about them. We don't want to be angry or sad, so it seems like we might be resistant to experiencing them or acknowledging them. What is the healthier way to deal with the bad stuff?
Well, I think we have to remove the language, you know, about bad or good. So all emotions are information. You know, for example, I'm angry at our nation's education system to a great extent because people aren't taking this work seriously enough. So that anger is what motivates me. Now, I don't run around screaming at politicians and yelling at people. I try to channel my anger into building great curriculum and doing powerful presentations to show the science so that schools take this work seriously. So you can see it's not the anger itself that's good or bad. It's how we use that anger, whether we use it wisely or we use it in a destructive way.
Sarah, thanks again for the call. Jim joins us now in Watertown. Jim, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. A little history. I grew up down south in a pretty redneck community, short kid, and then ended up being the captain of my wrestling team through high school, and then ended up doing 14 years in the penitentiary, all of which you could not show emotions, anything, you know, weak. What I want to say is that here in the last 10 years, my emotions are pretty much out of control. They're heavy swings, either no emotions or way too severe emotions. If you do not learn to deal with your emotions as a kid, they will come back to haunt you later. This is something that should be taught, you know, some way, whether it's school or getting counseling as, you know, as a normal for kids. It should be a something that's thought of as absolute and necessary.
Jim, wow. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Sorry you went through that. Mark, what do you think of when you hear Jim talk about his life experience?
Yeah, I'm really sorry that you had to go through all that. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, I don't think it should just be in counseling, because what happens is that when we wait until you're in counseling, you know, you've already had all these experiences that led to that. So that's why I believe firmly that this should be what we call primary prevention, or tier one, it's called in schools. Like, everybody gets this training from preschool all the way to high school, so that it's just part of the curriculum, not something that's just for the students who are acting out.
Thanks again for the call, Jim. Mark, what would your advice be to people out there listening and thinking, yeah, this is me. I'm not really on top of my emotions. I don't know. I don't really dig deep into them. What are some first steps you'd recommend people take?
Well, in my book, what I talk about is just giving yourself that permission to feel. Just shifting your mindset that emotions are useful, they're valuable, as opposed to something that should be suppressed or ignored or denied. That's step one. The second is what I talk about in my book is how to become an emotion scientist. How do you become curious about feelings? Like, start looking at people's facial expressions and saying, oh, I wonder how they're feeling right now. Start paying attention to your own, you know, body and your own mind. You know, how am I feeling right now? Build your emotion vocabulary. Like, push yourself to not say fine or okay. Like, you know, think about more elaborate words. Are you peeved? Are you angry? Are you enraged? Are you down? Are you disappointed? Are you feeling despair? Are you content? Are you elated? Are you ecstatic? Like, get more granular in your words. Talk about your feelings more to people that you care about. And then finally, practice basic strategies. Some are just breathing exercises to help us, you know, downregulate or calm down. And then importantly, what I think is one of the most critical strategies is monitoring our negative self-views and negative self-talk and just finding ways to engage in more positive self-talk.
It's a good place to leave it, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's Mark Brackett with Yale's Child Studies Center and the Center for Emotional Intelligence. His new book, we've been talking about it, it's called Permission to Feel, Unlocking the Power of Emotions to Help Our Kids, Ourselves, and Our Society Thrive. Thanks to you for all your calls as well.